Pastor Dan will be right back.
Really? Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 6, 2014. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't really realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before his Messiah's glorious return. But first, we got to get through this tough stuff, and it gets tougher every day. We're watchmen. We are called to watch. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this a choice in your life tonight before it is too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. I also have email. Email me. Send me your phone number. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, I'm telling you, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And folks, you can call us for any kind of question that you have, whether it's about our host or anything else, because I realize there's a large percent of you, 15% is a large percent of people that don't use the internet. You listen on radio. So that's fine. If you need to call me about anything, call me. You don't have to go on the internet to find out information. But if you do go to the internet, here we go. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Again, that's prophecyhour.com. And, you know, last program earlier, had a real good Mission Watch program with Ben Barrick. And next week will be Ted Shubat on there, and the ministry his dad's in and he is in, and that whole group of people over there at Shubat.com are in, they're really watching the world, and they are helping Christians that are being persecuted overseas. Why is Bible prophecy students and pastors and everyone else, why are they so being silent on the effect that so many Christians are being slaughtered over there? Christians are in Syria are being forced to pay money so they don't get slaughtered. And in some cases, they get shot anyway. So Christians are being slaughtered. They're trying to make them extinct over there. Why is that being ignored? You tell me. Well, actually, Ted Shubat will be on with us next week on Mission Watch to talk about it. Don't miss where the program I had today with Ben Barrick, and it is in the archives. So, well, it will be after this program. Now I'll say a prayer, and I'll bring on our guest for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father Yahweh, I just pray that tonight that you, the program hits the people's hearts and they realize the time in which we're in and the need to have your Son in their life. And Father, so I ask you to open their spiritual ears and their spirit and spiritual eyes so they can hear and which they can see so that they know the truth, Father. So, Father, please bless this program tonight in your mighty Son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, you know him well. He's from the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. I was counting on, I think he's been on this program over 10 times. I think it's becoming habit for me. Anyway, its mission, the ministry has, is to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and to make an unarguable presentation to unbelievers that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning, and that he does. So I guess with this point, we'll welcome back Steve Henderson. Are you hanging in there with me, Steve, or are you there? What's going on?
Brother, I'm hanging in there, and you know what? I haven't changed since last time I talked with you, my friend. I'm just as excited as I was last time I talked, and You know what? I'm just happy to be on your program, brother, because you talk about Bible prophecy, and I just really appreciate people who have a heart to hear the prophetic word. Maranatha to you, brother.
Well, amen. But aren't, you know, that's what I think a lot of people miss. You know, look, if you go, most of the Bible is Bible prophecy, but if you go to a church and they're not speaking Bible prophecy, there's something wrong, because Yeshua's word is the word of prophecy. But having said that, most people miss the time that we're in, Steve, and I don't know whether it's because, partially maybe because they're missing it in their church, but they don't pay attention to the signs. They don't watch. And I believe we're called to be watchmen. And tonight you chose a topic that's called the wisdom in watching. What do you mean by that?
Well, I believe that all of the disciples had an eager anticipation. When Yeshua told them before he left, "Behold, I come quickly." He said, "I am coming back, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm coming again to receive you unto myself." They really believed and really eagerly waited for the Messiah in their day. You know, he didn't tell the disciples, "Look, I'm coming back, but listen, it's not going to be for 2,000 years." What would those disciples would have done if they would have known that it had been 2,000 years before he would return? So he kind of gave them a few things to look for. He gave them signs. And, you know, signs are meant to be read. If someone puts a sign on the side of the road and we just go by it, we may miss something that's pretty important. Signs are used for warnings. You know, what good is a sign if you never look at it? If you run down the road at 70 miles an hour, be thankful that the sign which warns you that the bridge is out ahead. You know, it helps you to focus and be alert for any changes that may keep you safe. And so there are a lot of signs that he gave, and he told disciples, watch and look for these signs. It tells you what is up ahead. It will also make you aware of danger, and it will compel the person to be alert. And so, my friend, there is wisdom in watching, because that is exactly what he told his disciples before he left. He said, watch and pray. Even before he passed on, back to his father's house, he said, watch and pray. And while they were in the garden, he said, watch, be watchful and pray. And so there's wisdom in watching. And as I scanned the base of your programs, brother, that in the last few months, most everyone who's been on your program has centered on different facets of signs, various signs, put out there in plain sight, you know, to see, take a look at, and here. And in the programs that I've had the privilege to be part of, and I just thank you so much, my friend, for the invitations. It seems like about time I get started with starting to share with you the prophetic word. I'm never able to bring any practical applications to why I'm sharing the prophetic word in the first place. So tonight, I'd like to take a different angle in our discussion, why it's important for those who are interested in prophecy to consider some of the major themes that stand on top of the prophetic word. It's not just about the signs, but in fact, it's something a little bit deeper. And the wise are actually watchers, absolutely. But there's a few things I'd like to share with you in this particular program that's going to bring some practical application to those who are watching.
Okay, one moment. Let me get a couple words in here, and then we'll let you go. First, I was real impressed by that thing that you sent me, you know, and you pointed out, you said, well, this is what I've been talking about. I kind of thought maybe that when you know, after we got done talking about it, I kind of figured that's what it was in the first place. But I had hoped that it was a radio program because these kind of things need to be pushed forward. You know, we can talk prophecy for a long time, Steve, until you put it in the application and compare it to what's going on, then so many people miss it. But the other thing is, folks, I want to address you for a minute. My prayer for you tonight is that you please do listen, because so many of you are carried away with the things of the world. Even the people that listen dutifully to radio, you're looking for the next program and the next program and the next program, and you're not really searching the scriptures. You're not really looking at the news, and you're not having that personal relationship with Yeshua. if you get the personal relationship going with him, then you won't need to be afraid of these things. But things are escalating in the world at a tremendous pace. And so, please, folks, listen, pray, and heed the warning. Back to you, Steve.
Yes, brother. Very, very good points. I think that as we do anticipate the return of Yeshua, which should be the major focal point of believers, but unfortunately a lot of churches are flat busted asleep. Very seldom will you hear a word from the prophetic word, let alone out of the book of Daniel or Revelation. I find that quite odd, to tell you the truth about it, but, you know, if you're the devil, then you're going to, you know, what I think his strategy was back after he started killing the disciples off, they were, I mean, turning the whole world upside down. So he said, well, if you can't beat him, join him. So he just decided to get on inside, on the inside, and in fact had infiltrated the church to the point where when John was thrown in oil, hot oil, and they came out squeaky clean, they put him on the island of Patmos. Then Yeshua appeared to him and said, listen, I want you to write a letter to the seven churches, and I want you to tell them something for me. So write these things down of what you've seen, what is, what will be, and, you know, I'm going to share some future things for you. But I want you to give these seven churches a message for me. And, you know, by the time John had written that particular the visions that Yeshua gave him, yeah, but they figured anywhere from 80 to 90 A.D. Is, you know, so it wasn't too long after Yeshua had went back up to his Father, and disciples went out and fast and furiously spread the gospel out everywhere. Then the old devil got in there and he began to infiltrate and throw in there some false doctrines and got them flat busted asleep. One of the churches, I think the first church in Ephesus, Yeshua said, listen, you're doing all these good things, but listen, you've lost your first love. He said, repent and do the first works. Get back on fire again. To Laodicea, I want you to say, listen, I'm really sick of your lukewarmness. It's so sickening, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, because you say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But you don't know how poor, blind, wretched, and miserable you are because of this condition. Then he said to other churches, you know, you have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You have the doctrine of Jezebel and these false doctrines. I know where Satan's seat is, he said. And so when the disciples brought great light to the world after they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and be witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and all the othermost parts of the earth, Satan came in and infiltrated the church, and he put him flat, busted asleep, and he got him in the wrong direction. And I don't believe it's any different now. There's nothing new under the sun, according to Solomon. Right now, if you look at the majority of churches, very little do you find concerning the prophetic word. And so there are reasons to be watching the prophetic word, and I'm going to share a few of those things with you. Peter said, we have a prophetic word made more sure that you do well to heed. He said that we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter and the other followers of Jesus, or Yeshua, were there when Yeshua prophesied of his own death, his resurrection after 3 days. And even after he told the disciples plainly about this, even after he died, they were still not believing until he appeared before them. And old Doubting Thomas, finally was convinced. But after they were hiding behind closed doors in fear of the Jews, he sent them out after they received power from on high, and tongues of fire came upon them, and they became witnesses to all the world. And so this thing has not changed. This prophetic word, if they would have recognized the time of their visitation, as Yeshua put it, if they would have known the time of their visitation, then they would have been ready and prepared. But they read the word, but they really did not have eyes to really see. And I think that the reason why is because they were just so deeply entrenched by the traditions of the religious things. He told way back long before Yeshua showed up, he said, you know, the ox knows its owner and the master, the donkey is master's grip, but you don't know me, neither do you consider. Yet they continued on with the religious ritualisms, but they had no idea when the Messiah showed up that it was in fact him. They were looking for something different. They were concerned about their religious ceremonies. But when Yeshua said, listen, my kingdom is not of this world, and it's a little bit different here, the religious leaders wind up, of course, not only killing all the prophets who prophesied about him, but also hung him on a cross because it wasn't what they were looking for. So as I look at the practical application of prophecy, prophecy is synonymous with being a watcher. Remember back a couple of thousand years ago, the scriptures spoke of the birth of Yeshua, and the angels came and made the declaration, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And remember, the angels declared, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah the Lord. Glory to Yahweh in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In the same account, Matthew, the tax collector, at the birth of Yeshua, recorded that there were people called wise men, please listen, who had been watching the signs, and they knew what they had been looking for. And at the appointed time, the wise men followed the light of the star, and the light led them right to the Messiah. And their unwavering watchfulness and knowing what to look for brought them to see the prophesied Messiah face to face. And throughout the scriptures, Yahweh has always led the wise to the light. Yahweh not only just gifted his creation with evidence of his creative power for what it's clearly seen, but he also imparted his special revelation to mankind with a word from his prophets and servants. King David, the prophet, declared, Yahweh's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yes, we have the Bible now, a word from our Creator, historically accurate, archaeologically verified, and prophetically confirmed. And as Yahweh declared through his servant Peter, this is found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy that you do well, that you take heed. Now, we have a word, a prophetic word confirmed, and I'm going to share a little bit about that here in a minute. He said, because it is a sure word of prophecy, and if it's sure, then you better be paying attention to take heed to it. And it's like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and a day star arise in your heart. So this light and truth of the prophetic word is progressive, and the light does not stop. It continues until this day dawn and Yeshua comes in your heart fully. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy man of Yahweh as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, light and truth are progressive. And, friends, the Bible is full of the prophets' testimonies and warnings. And that's the one thing I really want to center on with our discussion this evening. Yahweh declared through his prophet Amos, surely the Lord Yahweh does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So, if anything happens, he is going to reveal it to his secrets to the prophets. And according to the other prophet, Isaiah, who spoke this concerning the future and what we should be doing, he says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So how important is it to be watching? Watching and being wise are synonymous with one another. See, if the religious leaders would have known this, Yeshua said this to the religious leaders. He said, when it is evening, you say it will be a fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red and threatening, O you hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? That was found in Matthew chapter 16, by the way. Again, Yeshua warned the religious leaders that determine results of not paying attention to the warnings. He said, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw you up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave on you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Yeshua did not speak in secret about any of those things. Some had ears to hear, but most of them didn't. And there's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said, as it was then, so it is now. And if the ones who read and listen to the prophet speak, they would have understood the time of their visitation. So, tell the believers, those that are wise will be diligently studying the signs and know what to look for, know when to speak, and know how to prepare, because the wise are watchers. The wise will have an important place in this generation, Brother. I really believe, Brother Dan, that according to the Old Testament, wise people know the times, and they know what to do. So in knowing that the time of the end is here, that Yeshua is coming, what is it that we're to do? We hear of all these signs, and we've been speaking about those signs forever. But in knowing the signs, those who are wise and recognize that watching, observing, and being informed concerning Yeshua's return should be doing something. So what
is it? Well, it's time to break in. It's 7:26, and that means in just a couple of minutes we'll be going for a break. So give your website real quick, and we'll go to break.
Absolutely. www.surewordprophecy.org. And some of those signs that we hear about, I admonish you to keep informed with the prophetic news section that I have. About every day I try to put some type of current event that will help you to be alert and to be wise and understand this day that you're living in.
Okay, well, we talk about that when we come back. I'll leave you with this word that Yeshua said. He said, for if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me, but you believed not his writings. How shall you believe my words? We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Steve.
Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Country.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click the satellite system.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And yeah, I mentioned homeless and poor in the same sentence, and you might think, well, the homeless are already poor, and I've said it many times. Well, I'm talking about two groups of people. We also take care of poor people from around the neighborhood and around the city that come to us looking for all kinds of help. One of the big things that strike me is, and I don't think you all realize, is, you know, Yeshua, when he came, he said he came to preach to the brokenhearted, you know. He came to the poor. Look where he was at. And so that's where we're at. We're at the poor. And, like, the best way is just to tell you a little story. The other day I looked over from the kitchen, and I saw this woman standing in a doorway of the kitchen. She's an Indian woman, and we get a lot of Indians in there because, you know, a lot of them come up from Oklahoma and stuff, and some of them have stayed, and they come from the reservation. And you know, a percentage of them believe in Christ. But anyway, she was standing there, and she had a sorrowful look on her face, and she's in the kitchen door, and I asked her, I said, could I help you? And she wanted to talk to me. Well, we went to the bedroom, and she needed help, man. Her sister had died about a week earlier, and they told her first that it was a natural causes, and now they were saying suicide and maybe murder. And she was just broken hearted. She needed a reason to know why she was left behind, and she needed to know these things. And so I prayed about it, and I ministered to her and anointed her with oil and prayed with her. And, you know, her words to me is before she left, she said, boy, I really needed that. But the Father knew who to send her to. We're there for the brokenhearted. And these same brokenhearted people, you think, well, why didn't they go to their pastor? They believe in Christ. Why didn't they go to their pastor? Well, you wouldn't believe how many poor people will not step into a church because they're alienated or feel alienated when they step into the church because they don't have the right clothes or enough money to give in tithes and so on and so forth. So they feel alienated. So when they need miracle prayers, they come to us. That's what, and why do these people come to us? These people come to us because of love, and that is the very first answer. And we treat them as family. Beyond that, you know, we don't have any set guidelines. I'll pray with one woman or one man. Another person will need bus fare. Another person will need doctored up. You know, I just help. What's needed, I help to the best of my ability or the best of our ability. And, you know, that's why so many people, you know, come to us and consistently. We've been open for 14 years. This will be our 14th year completed in June. And I was asked by a newspaper. There, by the way, there's something called the Kansas Journal that's interviewed me and doing some kind of article, and they came over to take pictures of me because the guy that's doing the article told me, he said, we're doing it about people that volunteer, and you're the most committed volunteer that I know. And so, you know, but anyway, he asked me, when are you going to stop doing it? And I said, when the Father makes me stop doing it or keeps me up all night. Otherwise, I use every ounce of energy to do the things that we do. So pray about it. We really do need your help. These people that are helping, that we're helping, you know, we say, well, you're a church. Why don't your congregation do it? Well, yeah, we're a church. We're a mission church. The poorest of the poor are the people that we help. They can't support what we're doing. I mean, you know, they don't have the money that it takes to do what we're doing. So pray about it. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And remember, while, yes, big donations help, you know, like $1,000 or so, but, you know, $100 helps, so does $10 and $20. It adds up. There's no gift too small or too large with the Father. What really counts is whether or not if it's from your heart. Now we're back with Steve Henderson, if he's hanging in there. Are you still there with us, Steve?
I am hanging in there, brother, and I just, again, commend you for your work that you do in that area. That is what it's all about. In fact, most of the rest of this talk is going to be based upon exactly what you are living in living color, brother. In knowing what we know, what do we do with what we know, I think is the main issue. In my opinion, first of all, if you recognize that Yeshua is coming, then you also need to recognize some of the prophetic word that declares that we ought to be changing our life. It should bring a definite change in the way that we prioritize our life. And what is most important when you do know these things? You know, you can usually gauge what is most important and what you spend most of your time or your spare time doing. Sure, we all have jobs and we all have to make a living and pay the bills. But what do you do with the rest of the time that you have? We say, well, I don't have time to do anything. Well, most people have time to sit around the television set 4 hours a night. Or a lot of them have time to spend a whole bunch of time on video games or other things that are so abstract, and it becomes obvious to those around you where your focus is and the measure of importance in your life by what you're doing. If you're sitting around the television set watching the tube, the eye staring at you and you staring back at the eye, and you spend most of your time doing that, that shows you where your priorities are. But it would only stand to reason that if you believe that the Bible is the unadulterated word of Yahweh, you ought to be busy doing something with your life outside of pursuing the mundane pursuits that have no eternal value. Way too many worry about how to get more money, and they spend all their time working and some two, some three jobs, and we all understand, man, we have bills to pay. But they fail to listen to the words and the prophetic word of Yeshua that says, if you'll just seek him first, then the fulfillment, everything will be added to sustain your life. So I believe that time and where you spend your time, if you know that time is there, then you ought to get on with prioritizing your life to line yourself up with exactly what he's expecting for you. Number two, the wise will recognize their calling. You know that when Yeshua was raised from the dead, one of the first things that he said to his disciples is this: as God has sent me, as the Father has sent me, now I send you. You know, Brother Dan, I am so encouraged by your work. You know, he sent and he was and bought us with a price, with his Amen. Own blood, with his own blood, and that ought to make whatever is important to him important to us. You know, in the prophetic word, and you hear of all these signs, and but the wise also understand something through that. It would be well for prophecy enthusiasts to recognize that their positioning and calling is very important. Everyone who has been saved in Yeshua's blood are bought with a great price, and we're no longer living for ourselves. We are to live and to live for others. How many one another commandments do you find in Scripture? I think I counted around 110 one time. But we find many references in the prophetic themes as to the believer's positioning. When he gave all the signs in Matthew 24, we're all familiar, all of us who know anything about prophecy, we are all familiar with the signs that he spoke of. But then he concludes in the final passages of Matthew chapter 24 with this statement. Who then, this is Matthew 24, 45 through 47. Who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave or that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. Let me bring that down into layman's terms. He said, who is the faithful servant? There is wise and there are foolish in the scriptures, especially in the prophetic themes. But he concludes, after he gives all these signs, he concludes it with a question. Who is a faithful and wise slave or servant whom his master has put, listen, in charge of his household? You know that when he left, he gave marching orders for those in whom he redeemed. And it ought to be very important to us to recognize that we have a work to do, and that he is going to come back, and he's going to render, you find it all through the prophetic parables and the themes of Scripture. Those who are wise are going to be watching out for other people. I believe that he has put us in charge. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So then when he said, you wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, the power outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for what reason? That you will become witnesses. You know, and what I find, a lot of people believe that their only obligation to God is to pray, God is good, God is great, thank you for this food. And very little do they ever pray. And very little do you ever hear anything about. I sit around even at the church, and I listen to people talk about the world inside the church, and very little about how the Father blesses them. And I am very stirred up about this, because I realize that Yeshua is coming, and his church is flat busted asleep. How many, you know, when he left, he gave marching orders, and he said, you go and you make disciples of all nations. You know, when you look, scan the base of the believers, I would venture to say that very few people have ever made a disciple. Very few know how to do it. And the disciple, the Greek word disciple is matheo, means make a learner. How many are meeting with people who don't know about Yeshua and are teaching them? It says go and make disciples, teaching them. Okay, that means make learners of them. That's what a disciple is. How many are taking their time out of their busy schedule to teach someone the word of Yahweh, to show them what the gospel is, to be witnesses in your own life about what he's done for you, and are testifying to that effect? Very few people even know how to make a disciple, let alone taking up time out of their busy schedule to do it. You see, another tactic of the devil. When he got his convention together and said, you know, we're killing these guys, and man, every time we kill these disciples, they have 100 raised up in their place. So let's just do re-strategize this. Let's just do this. Let's keep them busy. And the acronym busy, B being U under, S Satan's Y yoke. The acronym busy. It's just to keep them busy and doing other things and keep them so distracted from the real deal that when you keep them busy, then they're just absolutely ineffective for the gospel or for doing any of his work. All we got to do is just keep them lukewarm and put them in a position where they think they're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing because they go to church once a week. They sit and they let some preacher spoon feed them a few words and sing a few hymns and say, hi brother, how are you doing this week? Hope to see you next week. And never meet outside the church, never make disciples, never witness. How many, and I'll tell you how you can gauge your spiritual importance with Yahweh. How many of the listeners out there have led anyone to Yeshua in the last year? How many have baptized anyone in the last year? So there are certain measuring points here that when you look at the prophetic word, the wise are going to understand their positioning in Yeshua. He gave us work to do. Remember the prophetic parable found? Actually, there are three of them. And let's just mention them just for a moment. Go ahead, brother.
I just said go right ahead. I'm really just encouraging what you're saying tonight. I'm with you 100%. But I will say something now that I'm here. Folks, he's right. You know, you need to prioritize. You know, some people say, well, I'm not called to do this or that. The way to do that is pray about it. The Father has use of you. He has a lot of applications out there for people to go to work. You just got to fill out the application, and you fill out that application by getting on your face, getting a personal relationship with him. And so you wake up in the morning and say, hey, Father, here's my list of stuff that I need. But you wake up saying, what can I do for you today? And, you know, you should always be a blessing to others. So back to you, Steve. You're doing great.
You know, my friend, we will recognize that when we're in love with our Savior, And the reason why we don't do anything is that because we have a religion and not a relationship. And there's a whole big wide gulf fixed between the two. And the religion goes to church once a week, might have some doctrinal distinctions that they adhere to, and they might even put some money in their offering plate so the pastor can go around and do the work for them. Very few have a budget to help the homeless, as you're probably aware, brother, there in Wichita. I would venture to say that very few of the people that are homeless there can depend on any of the churches out there. They wind up probably sending them to you. There are all these stained glass windows and pipe organs and red carpets and nice fancy buildings and homeless people all over the place. And I'm telling you, I've just seen it by experience that we just do not recognize our position, and the wise will be watchful toward those who are poor and afflicted to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. This was Yeshua's mission, and it also becomes our mission, because if we really truly understand, the wise will be watchful for those who are lost. And I just believe that we need to be very, very alert that there are lost people all around the church, and we need to understand that we are to be co-workers with Yahweh. We are ambassadors for him. You know, these are very, very important concepts. And in Matthew 25, we find out that there are people called wise, and there are people who are called foolish. And in the first parable of Matthew 25, you find 10 virgins, and they're all church folk, okay? I believe when they're referred to as virgins, they're at least have a name of being a believer. And there are some that are wise who have oil in their lamps, and they have extra oil. And I believe that there that's that could be interpreted in several different ways. But well, one of the main things that I recognize about the one who has extra oil really sees a sense of purpose and a great anticipation about Yeshua coming, and will have that heart to share all that you have with others, and so you're going to have a little bit extra oil, whether that be Holy Spirit or whether it be goods for the poor, whatever that may be, and however you interpret that, we could spend an hour on interpreting that parable itself. But bottom line is, the ones who know that Yeshua is coming will have extra oil, and they'll have extra preparation because they're going to recognize that when all this stuff breaks loose, the wise are going to shine as a brightness of the firmament, and they're going to have something to share with people. Okay, they're going to be ready. They're going to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in them when they're asked. Because when this world, all of a sudden you wake up one day and your dollar's not worth anything, these people who know prophecy and have the spirit of prophecy are going to have something to share in abundance with others. So that's number one. Number two, when Yeshua comes back, and the parable, the prophetic parable of the next parable of the talents is a very important thing to consider. The wise will be watching and understanding that you are given certain gifts and talents. Now, I personally believe that some feel like that they don't have anything at all. But if you are a believer, you are gifted with something, okay? Whether it be the gift of help, the gift of encouragement, the gift of prophecy, the gift of administration, you have something that Yahweh has given you. And when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. And according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, he gave to himself apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And all of us who are in leadership in churches, hear me out. We ought to be equipping our saints for the work of ministry. And far too many leaders in the church have done nothing but collect money in the offering plate and hold church once a week and leave the absolute laity ignorant on how to do the work of Yahweh. Man, he is coming back, and he is going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And this is so important for us who know prophecy and know that the Yeshua is at hand, to be doing something and then recognizing what, in fact, our calling is and being doing something for the Master. Blessed is that man for whom the Lord comes. He will be fine doing something. Are you with me? Comments, Pastor Dan?
Oh, no. Amen. That's absolutely right. You know, I want to throw this in real quick. People say that with Yeshua came, then the sacrificial system was done and gone away with. You folks, woe unto you, because you do not realize the fact is that he's looking for living sacrifices, and he's talking about you. Yeah. He says, no one can come to me unless that you die and become born again. The sacrifice is your old life, and you start a new life in him, and he's supposed to be the Lord of your life, leading in your life. And so, like Steve says, what's important to him should be important to you. He came to heal the brokenhearted, preach the gospel to the poor, to heal. And, you know, what are you doing? Back to you, Steve.
Absolutely, brother. But if that evil servant say in his heart, what does the evil servant say? My master is not coming for a long time. He's delaying his coming and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that slave or that servant will come on a day when he is not expecting, at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, in that place where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I can just picture that, Brother Dan, that day when he comes back, and you know, if he bought you with a price and he gave you a gift, and you do not unwrap that gift. Well, you know, if I gave you a gift, Pastor Dan, if I send an envelope to you, and you never, and I have a gift in that envelope, and you never open up that envelope, you're not going to be very blessed, okay? Because I know what's in that envelope, and you ought to know what's in it, okay? So when he gives his servant gifts, he is going on into a long journey. And he, when he left, any believer is empowered not only with the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit, which he's trying to develop in your life. So when you get in trouble and you get in trials, know that those things are developing beautiful fruit. And he wants to bring that fruit to maturity in your life, okay? So when you wonder why what odd things are happening and you're going through these fiery trials and everything, just be thankful and count it all a joy when you fall into these various trials, knowing that the Spirit of God is developing something in you that will help you to become more like your master. Now, he also gives gifts to you. Now, you might not think that that gift is very important. You think, well, heck, man, I know I have this gift, but and someday I plan on doing something with it. But this prophetic parable, the wise will understand that in this prophetic parable in Matthew chapter 25, the one, I might also add that the wise and foolish, at the time of the coming of Yahweh, are flat busted asleep. Okay? Wise and foolish. So if you're not awake yet, wake up, because the bridegroom is coming, and that is a call that's going to actually wake up the wise. And the wise are going to trim their lamps. But then they're going to go out, and they're going to understand their importance with their calling. They're going to understand that when the master comes back, he's going to come back and ask, okay, I gave you five gifts. What do you got for me? And that faithful servant will say, well, I was so excited about what you've done for me. You bought me with a price, and I recognize that when you left, you said, go and make disciples and bless those that are poor. And so here, I'm giving you back what you gave, and I'm also going to give you back a return because I appreciate you so much. And he's going to go to the one with the two talents. And the guy with two talents who didn't have maybe as much as the guy with five, and maybe they thought that he was important, but that guy with two talents was equally important. And so the guy who gives the two talents back to the master says, listen, you know, I appreciate you so much. Here are two more talents back. And I just so much love you and appreciate what you did. Here is something even more in return, because I appreciate you so much. But the one who was given the one talent evidently was one of these evil slaves or evil servants, and he must have thought, well, you know, he's not coming for a while. And, you know, we're so wired, Brother Dan, not to do anything until the last minute. You know, never prepare for the test until the last minute. Never do anything today that you can put off until tomorrow. But for those wise people who understand the prophetic word, they are going to be doing something for the Lord, because they recognize that he is coming back and he is going to ask, what'd you do with what I gave you? And for those who didn't think they had a gift,
I have to cut it off. We're just less than a minute away. So give your website, and you know this seems to happen a lot. Anyway, blessings. Give your website, and we got to go.
Okay. Friends, thank you for your patience with me. SherwoodProphecy.org. Love you guys. May you have a very blessed week.
Be blessed, Steve. We'll talk again. All right, folks, you know, you do need to be, what are you doing for the Father? That's the point. Get up every morning and see what you can do for him. Well, I got to get out of here. Pray about the Wichita Mission Church. You must remember there is only one God, and he is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Be a blessing to all people again. If your presence isn't a blessing to people, then you need to question, you know. Time is short. It gets shorter by the minute, just like the clock ticks down right now for me to have to leave you. Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you. and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.